and all those kind of things. So I want you to be getting in your mind, getting your mindset, thinking about Vacation Bible School. That's going to be here real quick, and we need to get everything together in the next 2 weeks to make that happen. So keep that in mind. If you have any questions about what's going on and where you might be needed to fill in and help and so forth to make this a success, then see Tom. He will be glad to put you to work. Right, Tom?
Well.
Okay. So that's what's going on there. Now, we are in our study on encounters with Jesus. This morning we're going to be talking about Zacchaeus. Before we begin our lesson, I want to tell you about next Sunday, our third Sunday family movie night. We're going to be seeing this movie, God's Compass, 5 o'clock right here in the auditorium. So keep that in mind. I want to encourage you to plan to be here for that and to share this time with us. We will have popcorn available and all. And so come on out and just enjoy a good family movie together, all right? Okay, we've been talking about encounters that broken people have had with Jesus. And looking at the fact that when we're looking at broken people, we're talking about ourselves. And one of the things that we've been saying all along in this study is that it doesn't matter how broken someone is, they're not too broken for God to be able to fix. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, well, no, I've done too many bad things and there's no way that God could ever love me again. I want you to know that's a lie that Satan is telling you if that's what you're believing about yourself. Okay? You cannot be too broken for God to be able to fix you. Because God is in the repair business. All right? The people repair business. He specializes in fixing broken people. If everybody were fixed all the way and nobody had any brokenness, why would we need God? Okay? Think about that. So God specializes in fixing broken people. And all of us, at one point in our lives, have been broken or are broken, will be broken some more. All right? We're going to continue to need God's love and His care and His fixing in order for our lives to be more and more each day what He wants us to be. Broken people, from God's perspective, we don't always look at people this way, but from God's perspective, broken people are always worth fixing. Okay? We tend to judge people and make judgments about people, say, well, they're not worth it, they're not. No, God doesn't do that. Because God created every single person, and He loves every single person that He created. And they're all worth fixing. But here's the catch. Here's the key to it all. We've been saying all along, we have got to allow Him to fix our brokenness. He will not force His way into our lives. He will not force us to be fixed. We have to invite Him in and allow Him to fix our brokenness. Okay? So let's talk about Zacchaeus this morning. We begin by talking about a man who wanted to see who Jesus was. Okay? And the passage that was read for us, Luke chapter 19 is where we are, verses 1 through 10, the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus fixing his brokenness. There are 5 things that Luke tells us in the first couple of verses about Zacchaeus that are very important to understanding really what this story is all about. Okay, the first thing is his name, Zacchaeus. Why is that important? Well, not only does his name in Hebrew mean pure, okay, but it also tells us that Zacchaeus was indeed a Hebrew. He was a Jew. He was not a Gentile, as some people think. Zacchaeus was a Jew.
Amen.
Right, so that's one important aspect of this. Secondly, he tells us he was the chief tax collector. Now, not just a tax collector, but the chief tax collector. So in other words, Zacchaeus' position was one in which he collected the revenue from all the district tax collectors. So those folks that went out collecting taxes, and they would bring it to Zacchaeus, he was the head guy in that area.
Amen.
Okay, so he was the chief tax collector. Not only was he a Hebrew, not only was he the chief tax collector, but Luke also tells us that he was wealthy. Okay? He made a lot of money collecting taxes. Right? And then he says, about him, that he wanted to see who Jesus was. Not just that he wanted to see Jesus, but he wanted to see who Jesus was. But then the last thing here that we want to focus on is that Nicodemus, in his desire to see who Jesus was, he had a problem. Okay? Because Luke identifies him as a short man. And so when he heard that Jesus was coming, he wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was too short to see above the crowd. So he couldn't figure out, or couldn't at that point be able to see who Jesus was. So he figured out a way to be able to do that. And so, but before we see the picture of him in the tree, we all know that, right? Nicodemus climbed up in the sycamore tree, but y'all heard this this saying right here, right? Curiosity killed the cat. Right? Well, in this case, curiosity saved the tax collector. Okay, I want to suggest to you that the reason that Nicodemus climbed up in the tree was because he wanted to see, he was curious, and wanted to see who Jesus was. No doubt that people all around had been talking about Jesus. Word had spread. Jesus is coming to their town, and Nicodemus, probably like everybody else around, wanted to see who this guy is that everybody's talking about. And so curiosity is really, I think, what caused Nicodemus to climb that tree. He couldn't see above all the people that were taller than he was, so he climbed the sycamore fig tree just so that he could see who Jesus was. Right? The reality is that there are still a lot of people today who are curious about Jesus. A lot of people that are searching and wondering, wanting to see just who Jesus is. They're kind of like Alice, okay? In Alice in Wonderland, they are curiouser and curiouser. A lot of people are very curious about Jesus. What you and I need to do is everything we can to help them to get in position to be able to see who Jesus really is. Okay? The world is telling people lots of things about who Jesus is, a lot of which isn't true. But people are still curious, and we need to help people to see Jesus for who he really is. Okay? But the people began to mutter. Y'all know what muttering is, okay? It's basically that running off at the mouth. You ever had somebody tell you, or maybe you said to somebody else, will you stop muttering? Okay? Just stop. Just that talking. And not really, we say it this way sometimes, your lips are flapping, ain't nothing coming out. Okay? Because what they're saying is senseless. And that's what was happening with some people in the crowd here. And what happened? Jesus stopped at the tree, you know the story, and he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, come down. I'm going to stay at your house today. Well, then the muttering, the murmuring, the talking started. Okay? How can this man stay in the house of a sinner? He's supposed to be a rabbi. And yet he's going to stay in the house of a sinner? Well, you go over to Matthew chapter 9, there's another story about a tax collector. Okay? Jesus was choosing his disciples, and Matthew tells us that he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. So Jesus frequented the homes of tax collectors and sinners. Mm-hmm. And the religious folks of his day thought that was totally out of place. Okay, how can he be hanging around with tax collectors and sinners? You notice that phrase, tax collectors and sinners. They kind of went together like peanut butter and jelly. All right, tax collectors and sinners. To the religious people of Jesus' day, they were one and the same. If you were a tax collector, you were automatically a sinner. Okay? And the reason for that was because they were working for the Roman government. And they were collecting taxes from the Israelites and giving those taxes to the Romans. And so this was a group of people, that is, tax collectors, that were despised by their brethren.
Yes.
Right? And so they were always lumped together. There were tax collectors and sinners. They go hand in hand. And Jesus' response to the criticism, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. You see, Jesus did not come here to fix people that weren't broken. He came here for the sick. Those who feel like they don't need Jesus, that's not what he came for. He came for those who are broken and who want to be fixed. You see? Again, as I said earlier, if there wasn't anybody broken, then we wouldn't need Jesus. So he tells them, I didn't come here for the healthy people. I came here for those who are sick. And then he gave this statement. See what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You see, what God wants from us is to learn his grace and mercy and to give that to one another. You see, the Israelite people were really, really great about offering the sacrifices that were required by the law. They went through all the motions. They did all the things they were supposed to do, but they didn't do it from the heart. Was one of the big problems. We've talked about that a lot before. But the other part is that there was no mercy on their behalf. And we've seen that in some of the other encounters that we've studied before, like the woman at the well and the woman that was caught in adultery. And they didn't have any mercy for folks that were broken. But Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You can make all the sacrifices you want to, but if you're not willing to give mercy to people who need it, then keep your sacrifices, because I'd rather have the mercy.
Amen.
Now here's another thing to think about concerning this particular statement. You know, for most of us, when something happens to us and it's somebody else's doing, we typically want justice, don't we? We want that person to have to pay for what they did. We want them to, you know, we want them to be punished. We want justice. Okay? Well, here's a challenge for you to think about. Stop looking for justice and look for mercy. Amen. I don't want justice.
Amen. That's right.
Because as we've said all along through this, every single one of us is broken. Every single one of us deserves punishment. If we got justice, Amen. That's what we would get.
Amen.
Say. We deserve hell. But what we get is mercy. Say, I want mercy, I want justice.
That's right.
Okay? What we're talking about here in this whole muttering and so forth is basically this. It's gossip. Just talking about things they don't have any business talking about. Here's what happens. Gossip hurts. It hurts the church. It hurts the body of Christ. Okay? It divides people. It slanders people. It produces strife, division. It separates friends. And gossip is sin. Okay? Now, I want to take a moment. I'm going to say something that needs to be said. Just kind of step aside here for just a moment. With this, because it needs to be said. We have a young brother in Christ who was just baptized a few weeks ago. DJ. I don't know if you noticed or not, but DJ hasn't been here since right after he got baptized. The reason he hasn't been here is because of gossip. Somebody, and I have no idea who, I don't want to know who. I don't care who. Okay? It doesn't matter. Somebody has made some comments that really hurt him about, specifically about the shirt that he was wearing and about, you know, his attire. The DJ hadn't been back since because it really hurt him. That's the result of the gospel. As I said, I don't know who it was. I don't care who it was. I don't need to know who it was. I don't want to know who it was. But whoever it was, if you're hearing me right now, you need to go to DJ and you need to talk to him. You need to apologize. Because we've got a brand new brother in Christ who is struggling because of gospel. They didn't make a comment to him. They made it to somebody else and he overheard it. And that's wrong.
Amen.
Okay? And I point that out because I want DJ back here. I talked to DJ. I can't get him to come back here. I'm going to keep working on it. But whoever it was, go to him and talk to him and apologize to him. Okay? Enough said about that. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about the damaging effects of gossip. He lumps it all in with a lot of other wickedness. As he's talking about evil and wickedness and sin, talking about people who are that way, he says, being filled with all kinds of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, he says. It's sinful.
Amen.
Okay? It's sinful. And if anybody, if we get involved in that, we've got to stop it. We've got to fix whatever we mess up. Okay? You're seeking to save what was lost. That's what Jesus came here for. Alright? Nicodemus, when Jesus was talking to him, visiting with him, makes this declaration. Okay? Lord, behold, I will give half of all of my possessions. I said Nicodemus. I will give half of all my possessions to the poor. Now remember one of those five things that Luke told us about Zacchaeus, right? That Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. And so that's significant because Nicodemus is willing to take the wealth that he had accumulated and to give half of it. Did I say Nicodemus again? Hey, it's a brain freeze, all right? You know what I'm talking about. Zacchaeus is willing to give half of all of his possessions to the poor. And not only that, but then he says this, and if I cheated anyone, I'll pay them back four times as much. Now, again, one of the key things that Luke tells us about Zacchaeus there at the beginning is that he was the chief tax collector. And most likely, Zacchaeus had records of how much he had collected in taxes from the people he collected taxes from. And so he would be able to go back and look at it and say, yeah, I cheated this guy. I cheated this guy. He collected too much in taxes is really what it's all about. More than what they were responsible to pay. And so this declaration is one that shows a tremendous amount of repentance on his part. I'm going to pay back not just what I took from them, but I'm going to pay back four times as much of what I took from these folks. Mm-hmm. Jesus then responds about Zacchaeus this way. Okay, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son, look at this, of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. Now, when Jesus says he's a son of Abraham, that has two parts of it. One is, yes, he was a physical son of Abraham. That's one of the earlier statements that we talked about that Luke made. His name was Zacchaeus. He was a Jew. He was a physical son of Abraham, a descendant. But that's not what really Jesus is focusing on here. Not only was he a physical son, but now he was a spiritual son of Abraham because he was repentant of what he had been doing and the way that he had been living. From this encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus was no longer just a physical son of Abraham. Now he was a spiritual son. Amen. And Jesus declared him saved. Salvation this day has come to this house. Jesus forgave him. And that changed Nicodemus' life. And though we are... Nicodemus, I said it again. Zacchaeus. Now for some reason, I've got Nicodemus on the brain here. Y'all just forgive me. You can't help but imagine, though we are not told any details of it, but I can't help but imagine how many other people's lives were changed because of the change in Zacchaeus in his life. How many people no longer were being cheated on their taxes, for instance? You say, and how many of those poor people whose lives were dramatically affected by all the wealth that Zacchaeus shared with them? People's lives were changed because Zacchaeus' life was changed, because Jesus fixed his brokenness. And there's a message in that for you and I. As Jesus fixes our brokenness in our lives, then that should affect other people's lives in some very positive, strong, spiritual ways. Jesus declares, "I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." He came to call you. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, how many of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory?
All
of us. Okay? Who all is included in all?
All.
Okay? That's every one of us. Some of you don't have your hand up. See? Every one of us are part of all. And that goes back to what we said all along. All of us need fixing. Amen. Because all of us are broken in our lives. We need to make sure that we understand this principle here. The church is not intended to be a museum for good people. Okay? It is a hospital for the broken.
Amen.
If we treat it as a museum, then all we're doing is coming to look. Now what you do at museums, you look, but you don't touch, right? In a hospital, you don't look. You touch people's lives. And that's what we need to make sure that we're doing. Okay. The Son of Man, he says, came to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't know who everybody is here. I know most of you, but I don't know what everybody's condition is all the time. Maybe somebody here this morning who's lost, because you have not given your life to Christ yet. You are still separated because of your sin. You're separated from God. Thus you are lost. And you will remain so until you allow Jesus to fix your brokenness, to take away those sins, and reconcile you to Himself. And that's what He came here to do. Came here to seek and to save the lost. Maybe somebody here who's already given your life to Christ, you're already a Christian, but maybe there's some stuff going on in your life that you need to repent of. Maybe some things that are really causing some problems in your life that are wreaking havoc in your relationship with God. I want to urge you to get rid of those things. Give them to God and let Him fix them. Because that's what He specializes in, is fixing brokenness. If that describes you this morning, then let us help you get that help to get fixing done that needs to. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to talk to him privately, a private prayer with him. He'll be back there. I'll be up front to receive anyone that would like to come up front. We want to help you in whatever brokenness you might be struggling with, so that Jesus can fix that brokenness and you can enjoy the kind of life that He came to give you. Let's stand together.